Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, it is in thy presence that we find ourselves, as we have gathered in thy name, with the promise of thy presence here. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art here amongst us and in our midst. And we pray, O Lord, that we would spend this hour as if thou art sitting here next to us, that our thoughts would be centered on thee, that our hearts would be centered on thee. They would listen to thy word, they would read and meditate upon thy truths, that thou, Lord Jesus, would speak mightily to each of our hearts to bring us, O Lord, unto the perfect image of thy dear Son. So bless our gathering as we come together with our children. Bless us one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For this evening's meditation, dear ones, with God's help, let's turn together and read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. I desire to read the first 9 verses. Евангелие прочитаю из Евангелия по Луке, 13 глава, первые 9 браева. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer.
Truly, Heavenly Father, we have cause and reason to rejoice in this day thou hast provided for us. And as we have gathered ourselves together, we rejoice in the opportunity again to come and hear the word, to read it, meditate upon it, as thou hast opened up the scriptures to our brother. And we would pray that we would receive a blessing as you can, only you can give. We know that without the unction of the Holy Spirit, we are mere men, but we trust and believe that the leading of the Holy Spirit will guide the thoughts and the directions in which you would have us to go. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, as we have read together, that those that suffered these things that our Lord had written about, we know that they were not sinners above all, but that we should all repent and become baptized. And so, Father, there's no one that is a greater sinner or smaller sinner, but everyone that would reject the plan of salvation is an automatic sinner because he has refused to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we pray a blessing upon those that would hear the word tonight, they might read and understand it, they might know where they might turn for their soul salvation. We pray, Father, for many that are unable to gather for different reasons that thou knowest, each one. And so we pray, Father, that the word might go forth even to them, that have, even those that have chose not to go, and yet they still find it necessary to open the word and to read it and meditate upon. We pray, Father, we might do this on a daily basis, each and every one of thy children, that we might know what thy word teaches us, how we ought to walk and how we ought to live our lives. We're mindful, Father, also of those that are in foreign lands, those that are spreading the gospel message throughout the world. We pray that our missionaries, wherever they may be, that the words of truth and life might go forth and men might be saved while the door of grace is still at hand. For we know, Father, that there's a day coming when the days of the numbers of Gentiles shall be completed, and then the doors will be opened for thy people and the doors closed for the Gentiles. Father, we pray that that day would not come until all of our loved ones that we know and that would hear the word tonight would not ever have to experience those doors closed on their life. We pray, Father, that you would be with the widows and the orphans that are, and the widowers that we know, Father, that are sometimes they're lonely in difficult times. And we know that many have struggled in these past few months because of maybe financial needs or loneliness or shut-ins, whatever they might be, Father, we pray that you'll comfort each one that would call upon thee. Father, we pray for our government. We know that they struggle to try to do the right things and make the right decisions, but sometimes, Father, that doesn't seem to work out too well. But help them, guide them and direct them in the ways that you would have us all to live and go. We thank you for ever so many things that you bestow upon us, the blessings that we have received, the freedoms that we have. And so, Father, there is much we have to give thee thanks for, to give you praise and honor and glory. So as we listen to the word, may the honor and glory be given unto thee in thy Son, Jesus Christ. And may his name be lifted up, because he is the one that has died upon that cross and has saved us from our sins, and that he has given us life and a hope to live. And so we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this plan of salvation that you have provided. So bless each one that would desire this, each one that possesses the Holy Spirit, each child that has gathered here, that the word might go forth and each might receive a blessing from above. So we pray and thank thee for all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear ones, in the chapter we have before us, we have a story that it tells us that some came together and told Jesus of something that had transpired. This is the only place, I believe, that it tells us of this that happened here of the Galileans who were slain. It tells us that they told this story to Jesus of what actually happened, waiting to hear what he will have to say. And he tells them, as we look at what we've read here, dear ones, he tells us something that he told them that has never been canceled out through the years of history since then. These words that Jesus spoke continue on. Nothing canceled them out. His death, his resurrection, his ascension. These words that he spoke were for when he was here, and they continue on today. He says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Apparently, these Galileans had, they were some kind of they weren't listening to Pilate. Some kind of insurgency, who knows? But Pilate sent his men down, and it was a day of reckoning. And he found them, some of them were apparently at the altar. And it didn't matter where they were. Pilate had them executed. And it says their blood was mingled with the sacrifice. And for these men that were looking at this, in their mind, surely this was judgment upon these men. And they asked Jesus, what do you think? And he says to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? And then he drives home, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he tells another story of 18 who were killed when a tower of Siloam fell on them. And he says, were they sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? These men were on Pilate's payroll, working for Pilate, and the tower falls on them, and they're feeling this is truly judgment taking place. And Jesus simply says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So the question for each of us here today, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, all of us who have come together, Jesus is giving a word to us about repentance. Repentance is, we know it doesn't mean that we don't, that there could be, like these men here were thinking in their thoughts, that these men were much more grave sinners than they were, and then this had taken place. If we ever think that judgment comes upon someone here upon this earth, and what because of their life, certainly this happened because of that and so on, I would just say, let's look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Are we going to say that he was beaten because he wasn't holy? Are we going to say that he ended up giving his life as a judgment upon him because of his lack of service? No, of course not. And so let God be the judge of all things. It's not for us to do that. But oftentimes what we do, dear ones, is we look at others and we judge their sin. And by doing so, as these men did, they become proud. And so when we look at, if I look at you, your sin, I will become proud. But if I look at my own sin, I will become humbled. But that humbleness needs to bring about a repentance. It's not an emotional matter to sit in the house of the Lord and to hear the word and to read and to pray and to have our thoughts centered on the word and to think a moment of tranquility and yes, I see myself as a sinner. Oh, this is certainly for me. And then tomorrow I have my own way. I live my own life. Gone is the thoughts of what I just shared here. As we earlier prayed, we're in the presence of Christ. And then gone is that emotional moment. And then I go my own way. But I had an emotional moment. It was a spiritual moment. And surely God will recognize that. And we get lackadaisical. We get comfortable. And we forget what Jesus said here. And so, dear ones, he talks about a suddenness of death. The suddenness, how it can come. And some will die suddenly. Some will die after long illness, after much suffering. Some will die peacefully in their sleep. Some will die in accidents, as these have. Some will be murdered, as these were, and killed, and so on. But death comes. And so in death, we have to ask ourselves, and I know, we probably don't dwell on this too much, but we should. And if we really do, we're going to go into some really deep places with our Lord. Because when we ask ourselves, am I truly ready to meet my Lord? He is my creator. He is the one who gave me his law. He gave me his commandments. He gave me a way of life that will reunite me with Him. Do I love that way? Or do I love myself? Do I love my Lord or do I love myself? Because if I'm going to live for myself, then I'm going to reject Him. His laws, His commandments, His precepts are meaningless to me. And so then, but then I have to think of, I will meet my Lord. Am I ready to meet my Lord right now? And so all of us know that answer. We all know what our own answer is. But dear ones, we cannot be ready to meet Him in death if we don't have Him in life. And having Him in life doesn't mean that I just went through baptism and now I am comfortably His and He recognizes my weaknesses. It tells us here, He gives a parable of a fig tree immediately after He speaks these things. He says, a certain man had a fig tree, planted a vineyard, and he sought fruit therein. And we know the parable, the story that Jesus told of the vine, where He comes looking for fruit, and He looks that it bears more fruit, and He looks that it bears more fruit. It's never enough. You can never say it's enough. I have enough fruit. I've given enough of myself. A fruit yielding tree never says it's enough. It continues to give. And there is a one who will come and look for fruit. And so our lives are such, dear ones, that our Creator is looking to see, do we have fruit? We who call upon Him, in other words, we call upon Him, we claim Him. And so He looks for us in our lives to ask, where is the fruit? And so what part of His law, what part of His commandment can I ignore? What part of His commandment can I set aside and deem as too harsh, not important, doesn't have the weightiness of some other commandment, one that I can skirt over and ignore? Is there a law that, is there any of His command that I can say that to? We're going to say no. But do our lives reflect that? Because if I have Jesus now, then I am not afraid to meet Him in death. As a matter of fact, my soul looks forward to meeting Him in death. You know, we like to say we all have a soul. That's wrong. We all have a body, but we are a soul. We don't have a soul. We are a soul, and we have a body. And so this body that we have that is so short, because the soul that we are is eternal, and the body that we have is so brief, and we put our trust in our body, which is so brief, which is something that we have that we won't have. And so our focus tends to be on our flesh, on that which is not going to be here. And so Jesus is telling us all, repent. Repent, or you will perish. Not, well, you might, or I might consider and say, well, you know, He did try. Yes, He ignored me here. He didn't really love me here. He didn't really proclaim me here. His actions were ones that no one could really see the light of Jesus, of me shining through Him, but we'll let that go. Then we're saying that God isn't holy. Then we're saying that He's frivolous. We're saying that the heavens which ring out three times, holy, holy, holy is God. We're saying He's not that holy. Oh, well, yeah, He is holy, but He loves us and He'll overlook those things. Jesus says something that has never been canceled out. Repent. Repent, or you will perish. He says, Apostle Paul says, The times of ignorance God winked at. Now, but now, recommendeth? No. But now commandeth. Commands all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere repent. It's a commandment. Now, he's coming to look for fruit. And it tells us here that after 3 years, he says, why is this tree here? Cumbereth the ground. In other words, it is in the way. It is in the way. It's hindering. It's a hindrance. It's in the way. It's cumbering the ground. He says, cut it down. We're going to be cut down one day. This flesh is going to be over. And does anyone here have a lease on his own life? Do we have a lease? We all will say no. So we don't know in any way at all. We think we're wise. We have no knowledge of the next moment, what it will bring. Zero. No knowledge, because we ourselves may not be here. As we sit here, we may never leave the pew on our own. So because of that, because of the uncertainty, because of the fact that our lives are here today and gone tomorrow, and then the judgment, because of that, Jesus says, repent. Forsake your ways. Forsake the ways of this body that you have. And pay attention. Pay attention to the words Jesus is saying. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In the book of Proverbs, we read a verse that says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So what does covering a sin constitute? Sins that are lived in, sins that are not forsaken. He says, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them. Repentance means to forsake. So when we repent, we forsake what? The flesh. We forsake this temporary body that is given to us. He says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. No one here can say, I don't need mercy. So that means every one of us here needs to forsake, repent. I can, repentance isn't just a turning away from a deed. Because you know what? That's how these men were looking at it. These men were looking at it as, look at my deeds. They're not like these. These men, these Galileans that their blood was mixed with the sacrifice. My deeds weren't like theirs. No, they may not be. Maybe your deeds will never be as bad as mine, and mine as bad as yours. But the question is the heart. Someone just asked, what would you rather What would you rather be able to do? Fly? Or read people's minds? Fly or read people's minds? Well, reading people's minds is something that empowers people, right? If we know what the person next to us is thinking, we have power over them. But we think we can hide. Because you don't know what's in my mind and in my heart, as I act all goody-goody to you and act all sweet and nice, you don't know. Maybe my heart is raging towards you. I'll never show it to you. God knows. He knows the mind. He knows the heart. And he says, repent. Turn away from that. Turn away from those fleshly thoughts, those things that you're doing to please this temporary body, which Paul says, you know, if we think about death, and if we are ready to die to meet Jesus, that means that we are doing what Paul does, is we are dying daily. I'm going to die daily, and then I'm not afraid to die to meet Jesus. But if I don't die daily, then I don't want to die. Because when I do die, then I have to stand before God who knows my thoughts and who will say the things that I have thought, the things that I have done, the things that I have said, the words that I have murmured and muttered and cursed in my thoughts towards somebody. The jealousies that rage in my heart, the desires, the wants to be better, to, and so then what happens when those things are in our heart? When we see a brother or sister fall, when we see something happen, our heart leaps with joy as we say, oh, I'm so sorry. And we act the part. But God knows the heart. God knows the heart. Has your heart rejoiced in the misfortune of someone else ever? That is as grave of a sin as any that is written in the Scripture. And one that we should never, ever get comfortable with. But when we reflect on it, deeply repent. Because it exposes a heart that is wayward, that does not have God in this life. And will not have God in death. No, there's a lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And in that lake of fire are all those, you shall likewise perish, who have not repented. Who have not repented. There's mercy. We read in Proverbs, there's mercy for those who repent. And he says, give it to me one more year. One more year. And let me dig about it some more. Let me dung about it some more. Give me another year to see if we can have this barren fig tree bring some fruit. And if it bear fruit well, what does well mean? Mercy. Well. Why? Because we've repented. And if not, then cut it down. Where are we in this parable of the fig tree? Where are we? Where are we? Are we a fig tree, barren fig tree? Are we a fig tree that is bearing fruit? Or are we a barren fig tree? Are we a barren fig tree that claim him And he's looking, and he's looking, and he's saying, it's time to send the angel of death. Give it to me one more year. Are we in that final year? We don't know. That's the uncertainty of death. We don't know where we are. Are we cumbering the ground? Or are we a glory to God? To be a glory to God, dear ones, is to have the light of Jesus Christ shine wherever, however we meet anyone, in whatever circumstances, however it is. The light of Jesus shines out. That means I have Jesus in my life. How can I say I have Jesus when there's no light that shines? In my actions, reactions, interactions with my fellow man at work, at school, in church, at home, and alone. Alone. You know, this is something that I thought of a lot, and another brother mentioned it to me too. Think of when it would happen that you actually die. What are you actually doing when you die? We don't know what we're going to be doing when we die. Are we going to be sleeping? Are we going to be driving a car? Are we going to be in an airplane? Or are we going to be doing something that we really don't want to be found doing that? We really don't want to be found, because now the secrecy of what I was doing is open for those who are going to find me in the way that I am. And so, how come we don't think that God finds me in that moment all the time? And so Jesus says, except you repent, you will likewise perish. God loves his creation. He loves us. And so he gave his son to show us a life of purity, to die for us, to shed his blood, and to call us. And so he calls. As a matter of fact, in the heading of this chapter is said, a call to repentance. The call that will only be canceled when we die. When the tree is cut down, the call to repentance is canceled. It's never been canceled. The call goes out. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. We sang in the hymn that we opened the service with, as one called here, soon to dwell there at the Lamb's great throne, I shall hurry. Such who tarry, bitter loss have known. They who run, but not aright, win no crown of glory bright. What's behind me shall not bind me. All that I disown. That's repentance. All, whatever is behind me does not bind me, because it's behind me. When it's behind me, it can't bind me, because I put it away. I've repented and I've disowned it, and I'm walking aright, and I'm called here to dwell there. It's beautiful. May God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, as he calls us, may he reveal to each of us, dear ones, may reveal to each of us exactly where we are Are we ready to meet him? That means I have him. He is mine. He lives in me. He rules my heart. I look at every day and I reflect on the day. And I'm sorry what I did. I repent. I die daily. And I don't repeat what I did today. I'm ready to meet him. Or if I'm scrambling, I'm not going to find him. Because death comes suddenly, it comes swiftly. Those jaws, those doors, whatever we want to call them, they're scary. There's darkness, uncertainty. We don't know. Why don't we know? Because we don't have him. Paul never feared death. Never feared. Why? He had Christ. And all the saints of old who testified and lived lives of repentance, of faith, repentance towards God and faith, they never feared death. May we also, dear ones, reach that in our lives where we actually look forward to the day that Jesus calls us. Amen.
This parable that we read about tonight makes me think of, as it says here, that they planted this vineyard and after 3 years there was no fruit. There are some of you here that have heard and received the Word of God for at least 3 years, some maybe more. It is our prayer that we will give you the chance again, encourage you, strengthen you, pray for you, and give you another year to give another opportunity to seek out your soul salvation. It is our prayer that none of you would wait, that it's too late. A year goes by, and you're still not ready. You need to think about it, pray about it, ask God to help you. Amen.